And Dr. Nadine Caron would like to collect your blood and other bodily tissues. It's in support of the first biobank initiative in Northern BC. And with any luck, it could help save lives. And she joins me on this chilly day live in studio. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks so much for having me,
Appreciate
Robert.
It. So we'll first start things. Let's clear it up. What exactly is a biobank?
That's a great question, and always the first question that comes up. Well, essentially, a biobank is a collection of what we call biospecimens, if you want to sound smart,
right.
But really just tissue.
Okay.
Tissue and data and information that goes along with that tissue. So put it in sort of the day-to-day life that, as a cancer surgeon. When I take out a tumor, it gets sent down to pathology, and the pathologists do a great job. They look at it, they tell me what it is, and then we pass that along, and the steps in the cancer journey begin.
Okay.
However, usually those just sit in the basement of a hospital and eventually get shifted to a different storage facility, and they're not in an organized fashion. They're not intended for the use of research, and they're not intended to be used in the future for anything else. A biobank stores those in a systematic fashion, in an organized fashion, so that if research is planned in the future and you want to do something on, say, let's take something that's a safe, like big toe cancer.
Right.
And you have all these big toe specimens. And then a researcher, through a proper ethical procedure, can access those tissues that are organized and ready with the clinical data. So you know if it was from a man or a woman, or from a 50-year-old or from a 100-year-old. If you know if it was treated with chemotherapy first, or if it was just the surgery was the first step. And this is happening all over. So although it's a new concept in the North, and that a lot of people are asking me, what is a biobank?
Yeah.
What is a biobank? We can't claim that we invented it.
Right.
They're not innovative. They're not new. But we don't really have a voice at the table when it comes to this type of research. Northern British Columbians were left out for a big part of it. And
up
if
until?
We create our own biobank, we can be at the table and part of the solution.
Neat. Okay. We're going to talk about that, why it's important to have that in just a moment. I'm curious about the tissues you're talking about. I mean, this is, what are we talking about? Everything, like anything and everything that comes from the body? What are we talking about here?
Well, one of the things is this is phase two of the biobank. Mm. And so we're not really out collecting tissue actively
right.
yet.
Yeah.
A common thing that is collected, and the example I gave are tumors, cancers, because oncogenomics or cancer research using genomics or the DNA spelling of these tumors is really revolutionizing cancer care in a real way. Even here in British Columbia. Although we will start, and we're thinking of starting with cancers, one of the things we're doing in phase two is really reaching out and consulting and engaging everyone that will be impacted, whether it's in a community event like tonight or talking to researchers at UNBC, throughout BC, across Canada and elsewhere about what kind of tissues. And so we're thinking of starting with cancers and specifically some of the more common cancers. But this can be used for any type of disease if it's something that the biobank is approached about from Northerners to say, hey, well, what about this?
Right.
And it may be something unique. It may be tissue that otherwise research hasn't been done on. And one of the speakers at the panel tonight, Dr. Sarah Gray, has some fascinating ideas. And that's what's so great. Sometimes if you start to do something that's always been done, you tend to do things always that way.
Right.
And I have a feeling that the Northern Biobank, although it will be very similar in the protocols and procedures and the ethical approvals that are required and the confidentiality and security, I think we might be unique in terms of what we feel are the priorities and what we want this biobank to do.
Making it our own.
Because
as you mentioned, it's been done elsewhere, but because it's so new here, it's a new concept. You
exactly.
could take that strategy as a way of making it unique. So this is the other thing that dawns on me. It's like, okay, so obviously there's a conversation to be had with possible patients and people that you'd be receiving those tissues from. How do you go about, I guess, ethically getting those samples from people?
Right. So this, in say, for example, if we go back to the area that I'm most comfortable with is in the case of cancer. So as a cancer surgeon here in Prince George, it would be something that would be discussed with the patient involved, and it would be explained to the patient in real time, meaning at that time, along the time that their cancer is being removed. But the whole process will be discussed with them, and it will be really their choice. And that's what's so wonderful. In healthcare, sometimes you get choices and you choose what fits with you. In this case, you get a choice to be part of the research platform and potential research in the future, you get a choice to biobank your tissue. And if you choose not to, that's okay. That's 100% right. You're okay. But I don't think, what I don't think is okay is to not have that choice.
Can it be invasive?
Yeah.
Is it like pretty invasive too?
Oh, can it be invasive?
Yeah.
Well, for the most part, one of the reasons we're starting with cancer is because as when you go to the operating room, and you are having a cancer surgery, you want all the cancer cut out. And so for the most part, it's already being taken out. You already want, and even though you might only need millimeters of tissue for a diagnosis, if you have a 2-centimeter tumor, you want the whole darn thing out.
Right.
And so it will be only biobanked if there is additional tissue available.
Interesting. Okay.
And those, the experts who will be calling that shot are pathologists who know what's needed and what's not needed.
So the to me, the important question here, if it's being done elsewhere, why do we need one in the North?
Great. That's, I think, the second most common question. And I think for the most part, I thought I'd be asked that a lot more in the South than the North, because in the North, we're so used to it.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, if we develop something in the North, it's going to have our flavor to it,
right,
our touch to it. It's going to be tweaked to our needs, our priorities, our expectations by our patients, our communities, by the physicians in the community, by the pathology department, everyone who's involved with it. And we have a history in this. We were told, I remember, I wasn't even in the North when UNBC was being created. But boy, no one thought the North needed a university. And look at UNBC now for the second year in a row, number one in Canada.
And truly unique.
Exactly, unique, because it fits the North and brings us a skill set and an ability to train. The same thing with the Northern Medical Program. You know, we had a medical school in Vancouver. Why would we need one in the North? And all of a sudden, the Northern Medical Program is talked about internationally, about how we train students and medical students in the North, for the North, particularly with interest in rural and remote and Aboriginal healthcare. And that fit what we could do in the North, perhaps better, and I think better, than other urban metropolitan centers. Another example, the BC Cancer Agency. You know, we were told for so long that we didn't need one in the North. And every time I see a cancer patient, to see that sense of relief through an incredibly stressful period, that when I was talking about something like radiation, that they had doctors literally attached in a building attached to the hospital that would be able to answer their questions and see them for those needs. And they would no longer have to travel hundreds of kilometers south of Prince George to the nearest radiation facility. It's happened time and time again. Just because it's in the South, why do we need it in the North? Because we have great communities in the North that are capable of doing it.
So the early days yet. We're talking about the phases of you know. So to be basically, I guess, to fulfill your vision for this, what needs to happen next?
Well, this phase two is basically reaching out, and it's doing a lot of engagement and consultation, making sure that the public knows that this is something that we're thinking about, that we're working towards, and we're aiming for. There's an event like that tonight, as you know. But at the same time, reaching out to researchers to make sure that the biobank is something that, not like the biobanks created 20 years ago, because we have lots of time to learn from the others that came before us, and we can really do that. Consulting with ethicists, because genomic research is a dynamic field. Consulting with healthcare providers in the North to see, do they want to be part of this and what part do they want to be? And so we're really engaging. A big part of it is with First Nations communities, which has been an incredible honor already to talk to these communities and to these leaders and organizations and just how engaged they are. And again, I think we're used to it in the North, how much First Nations are part of our communities and how we need their voice at the table.
Well, definitely, I find it fascinating. I'm very interested in seeing what comes of this. I'm sure it's going to be great. We could talk a whole show about this, I'm sure. But then we'd be stealing away from the community event tonight. So I thank you so much for coming on this Frigid Day to talk to us.
Thanks so much, Robert. Pleasure.
You bet. Pleasure as well. Dr. Nadine Caron is a surgeon here in Prince George, also co-director of the UBC Center for Excellence in UBC Center for Excellence in Indigenous Health. Now, this community event on the Northern Biobank is happening tonight. That's, of course, right here at UMBC, and it is at 6 p.m. And your thoughts on this story, any questions you may have, you can pose them on our listener line, 1-866-340-1932. You can also email us, daybreaknorth@cbc.ca.